May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. We don't grow into fullness, the fullness of Christ, in terms of getting more. We're born into the fullness of Christ. We've all received of his fullness and grace upon grace. Every Christian, every new believer starts off with the same equipment, the very fullness of Jesus from which they can live. But what we do grow in is in faith, because it's by faith we appropriate the fullness of Christ. And even though from the moment you're born again, you contain the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of Jesus, I mean, let your imagination run wild what that means in every area of your life, in terms of victory and holiness and in ministry. Even though we all contain that, we don't always walk in it experientially. The Christian life is a life of faith. And so the more we learn to walk in faith, the more we appropriate what's already ours. We don't get more. We just enter in experientially to the more. And so the real question is, how do we grow in faith? And most believers, if you ask that question, well, how do you grow in faith? Where does faith come from? And they would quote Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And that's true. But that's not the whole story. There's more to growing in faith in that. Because the reality is, if you'll search the scripture, that there's usually a context. There's a, like when you're creating something with clay, there's a wheel that you put it on that turns. And the wheel, or the context that God uses to teach us to grow in faith most of the time, is the wilderness. As a matter of fact, I was going to read the gospel lesson from John and not do this one, but I'm glad I did. Because, as you know, Jesus, we've said this a million times, we'll keep saying it, that Jesus was God, very God, but he lived on earth as a man. He emptied himself and laid down his right to live as God, and he lived as a spirit-filled man. He lived as a second Adam to show us how mankind was intended to live. Scripture says he was the author and the perfecter of faith, and the just live by faith. Jesus lived a life of perfect faith. But the scripture says that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. That doesn't mean that Jesus was disobedient and learned how to be obedient. It just means he grew in the depth of obedience. You learn things every time there's something new. And so Jesus was always obedient, but his obedience got deeper and deeper and was more extravagant to the point where he went to the cross. That's pretty extravagant obedience. But he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. God doesn't have to learn anything, but Jesus, as the Son of Man, learned. And he lived by faith. God doesn't live by faith. He lives by knowing. And this experience with the Gadarene demoniac, the language there, when it says, when the man said, you know, have mercy on us, don't torment us, for Jesus had been saying, come out. And the language there is that he'd been saying it again and again. And one of the Gospels, the indication is before Jesus ever hit the land and this man was running towards the shore, Jesus was already saying, come out of the man. And so the point is he didn't just say it one time. You know, we think about every time Jesus ever did anything, because he walked in such faith, or he was, because he was the Son of God, he just spoke it happened immediately. We know that there was that time when Jesus prayed for the man from Bethsaida who was healed partially of blindness until Jesus prayed for him a second time. And with the Gadarene demoniac, Jesus repeated the order to come out many times. The point being is, how did Jesus do that? How did Jesus cast spirits out? How do we do stuff like that? By faith. He was the author and the perfecter of faith. And as the Son of Man, after being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Father decreeing over him, you're my beloved, I'm well pleased with you, he immediately thrust him into the wilderness. The scripture says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. And the interesting thing is that in those places of temptation where Jesus quotes scripture, I think most believers think that, well, these are just things that Jesus had already memorized, somehow hidden on flashcards, somehow stuck in his toga, a robe, and he was just like, but the truth is, he had certainly saturated himself with the word. We know that from when he was 12 years old in the temple. But when he was in the wilderness place, God spoke those scriptures onto his heart. And in that moment, he lived by the words that were proceeding out of the mouth of the Father. Faith came by hearing, hearing by the word. But he was also, it says, I think it's the Luke passage that says, and that he came out of that wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's when his public ministry really began. Not after he got filled with Spirit, after the decree that he was the beloved, after the decree that he was well-pleasing, but after he went through the wilderness. It was in the wilderness, you see, I believe that Jesus learned, grew in faith. Didn't mean he didn't have faith. He had faith, he just grew because he exercised faith. The more you exercise, the more you grow. It's just like muscles. You exercise a muscle, it'll grow. And the Lord exercises our faith according to 1 Peter 1 and James chapter 1 to the place of testing in the wilderness. I'll read a couple of verses to you. One of the reasons I'm saying all this to you is because if you're like one of those Christians who's like going, Lord, I want to experience all of it. I want to know the fullness of Christ in my experience. I don't want to just walk around and say, I got it. I want to experience it. Then you're going to have to grow in faith. And therefore, you get to go through the school of Christ. There are going to be some wilderness experiences in your life. This is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. All the commandments I'm commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land. Possess the land that was already theirs in the spirit, but they had to possess it, what we're talking about, which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you'd keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He used the wilderness to teach them that. My favorite scripture about the wilderness and faith is Song of Solomon chapter 8. I think it's verse 4. It's towards the end of that book. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning on her beloved? See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, but it also says in Galatians chapter 5 that faith works through love. Well, faith works through love. Not just getting the word, but faith works through love. The more you love somebody, the more you trust them. That's just the way it is. The more you get to know them, the more you love them, the more you're willing to commit everything to them and trust them. If you don't love someone, it's very hard to trust them, isn't it? If they haven't proven their love to you, it's hard to trust them. Well, what happens in the wilderness, the Lord has a way of pruning our hearts to him. In the wilderness, what it feels like, and you may have a gazillion people around you, all kinds of support systems, but what it feels like in the wilderness is you are all alone. And he becomes, his presence becomes much more vivid. Your heart becomes much more desperate. And he just prunes us from all these lesser loves and these idolatries and things in our hearts, these idols in our heart. And in doing that, then he's able to speak things onto our heart. It says in Hosea chapter 2, he said, I will lead her, talking about Israel, into the wilderness that I might speak kindly on her heart. That's why that verse is so powerful. That little short little, it's just a part of the verse actually. Who is this coming up out of the wilderness, leaning faith on her beloved? Faith working through love. See, I'm convinced that while Jesus didn't give up as the Son of Man, after the third time he told the demoniac the spirits to come out, 6,000 spirits, that's a lot, legion. Why didn't he give up? Because he had learned in the wilderness to stand against everything the enemy could throw at him. He had learned to lean into his beloved. He had learned, he had advanced in faith. So he wasn't going to give up when dealing with that situation. The wilderness is God's workroom. It's his workshop. Fullness you got. You're fully equipped. You're complete in Christ. Everything that pertains to life and godliness is already yours. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's already yours. What you grow in is faith. We grow in faith in the wilderness. Don't despise the wilderness. Don't despise the gift of battle. It's there we learn to lean on our beloved. It's there he becomes our beloved more and more. It's there we learn to lean. And it's there we come up out of the wilderness. Who is this? Change and transform. Because we learn by faith to draw from radically the fullness that's ours in Christ. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.